This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andre Lourdes! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run to start!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, titled Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meet the eye test. This is the fun episode that I enjoy. Not that they're not all fun, but I've let you guys know how much I enjoy this format as I bring in some guys that really make you think. They'll get into the numbers. They'll get into the minor league situation. They'll get into a new age of thinking with three of the best guys that I could think of, Kyle Reese, Mo's Algorithm, and Brendan Schaefer, who actually will not be with us this week. Looks like he's working for a living, as they say, doing some other things now. And I'm going to have to talk to him. I mean, I'm not making any announcements here, but I'm hoping he's going to be able to move forward with us. But if not, it's been great having him. And we'll just have to see. I'm hoping we can work this thing out. But it looks like he's going to be doing some other things work-wise that may cause an issue here, but I've really enjoyed my conversations with him, and it always makes me feel minorly validated when a new age thinker and I agree a whole lot. It makes me feel like I'm getting smarter, which I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe I'm just getting lucky with some of my observations. So love Brendan, and hopefully we can work this thing out. But for today, for sure, he's out. So it's just me, Kyle, and Mo's today. The conversation today really is going to be about what we have as perceived plan B. Let me say this first. I've said this on Twitter today, and I want to say this out loud. I want everybody to remember one thing, okay? Guys that have podcasts, guys that write blogs, let's say this, guys that are in the true media, guys that follow the team, guys that talk to Mo, guys that they really don't know jack shit, okay? Now, if you want to say that a Rick Hummel and a Derek Gould are more in touch, absolutely. 100%. 100%. But they, if you follow along, they really are no different than any of us. How often do they say or know something about who we're going to sign and it turns out to be true? I don't remember either one of them telling me 2 or 3 weeks beforehand that we were going to sign Dexter Fowler, or we were going to sign, like, we're going to sign Mike Leake, we're going to do this, we're not, this is plan A, this is plan B, and it worked out the way. Listen, the bottom line is this, those guys are in touch with those guys, they get a feel for what those guys want to do. They then put two and two together based on lots of things, just like we do, right? We hear what they say as fans, Cardinals say this, we look on the field and we're not dumb. We know what they need. So then take what they say, take what they need, look at the market, and then you start hearing rumors about guys. Now, free agents are obviously free agents. They are available. Then you start hearing rumors about guys that are quote-unquote available for trade. So then we start calculating what we think based off the organization and their tradition of how they approach this. We start making what's plan A, what's plan B, what's plan C. We do that all the time. And we don't know shit. The national media has proven they don't know shit. Last year, I pointed out in the whole Stanton thing how many times two respected guys, quote-unquote respected guys, that are supposedly in the know at the same time tweeting out opposite things. So now you tell me. Okay, there's a variety of reasons why we hear and see the things we do. I'm not even saying that they're wrong. And I also know that things change quickly. So, again, I don't know how we got into this situation of this is plan A. I like, and what triggered me on it was I saw today somebody said, well, you know, so and so said that we weren't going after Machado. Well, I love the guy, and it's the guy we're getting ready to have on. But what the hell does he know about the Cardinals being interested or not interested in Machado? Let me tell you something. I love Kyle, and he's getting ready to come on here. But if Kyle Reese has a connection to the Cardinals enough to where some guy over there told him they're not interested in Manny Machado, then Kyle Reese should have his own shows, should be writing for The Athletic. He should be going on national media outlets and talking about rumors and doing all this kind of stuff, because that's more than anybody else has. The St. Louis Cardinals and other teams are going to keep a lot of things close to the vest. Now, there are GMs out there that traditionally are different types of GMs. Everybody knows, okay, if you follow the history of a lot of these different franchises, some of these GMs and teams historically operate in certain ways, okay? And you have to respect that, all right? Certain guys are more willing to trade prospects. Certain guys are willing to take more risks. Certain guys, they live and die by it. Certain organizations are willing to write more, bigger checks, blah, blah, blah. So then we all make an educated decision, right? So there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. I'm just saying we all have to stop acting like, you know, this was that. This was this. This was that. Now, everybody's entitled to an opinion. I'm not saying we're not. But we got to quit acting like the Cardinals, okay, didn't follow up, and or this was plan A and this was plan B and we got screwed here and we did this, we did it. We have no idea. And this is all, you know, kind of coming from the whole, you know, well, you know, we lost plan B. You know, we lost plan B. It's like, well, do we know that he was plan B? What if he was plan A? I think the whole thing really screwed the Cardinals, and this is my opinion. And we're going to talk about it with Kyle, but you know, I think JD jumped the shark here. I have my opinion on the situation, and it's coming from a guy that loves Josh Donaldson, and we'll talk about it here in a minute with Kyle. But I just want to say that like, the more I get into this, the more I see like people on Facebook groups and Twitter, they start talking about rumors, like, hey, did you see this and this and that? And I'm sitting here going, look, I if you trace back the guy that wrote that, he's some guy with a blog that doesn't know anybody. I don't understand how we've went from like talking about something to it becoming fact. So anyway, I've got a lot of things like that over the years I've caught myself up in. And have just tried to get better with it because, you know, as I always say, when I say on here, this is plan A or this is plan B or this is plan C, this is ours, not the Cardinals. Let's be quite frank. And this is what we hope they do. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat, but man, it just screams to me. And I've just really noticed it the last 24 hours. And then I go back and I think about the past and I think it is amazing how many people take some of this stuff that I've seen it from our show. People thinking that what we say on here is like, you know, and I understand too, especially with Benjamin. Well, they said this, so this is, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is just an opinion by a couple of guys that really, I mean, come on. Listen, I can tell you this for fact, and I'll just say this. Having Benji Molina be a part of the show is really nice. Yeah, obviously, we have access to Yachty. Okay, probably at times more than others, obviously, for certain things. Benji's in the clubhouse every weekend that they're home. He talks to his brother, you know, however many times a week. He knows Mo. He knows all kinds of things, right? People in the sport, multiple teams call him and ask him for his opinion on players and things, right, that he's been a part of. I've asked him numerous times off the record, like, hey, do you know anything about this? There has been a couple times where he's like, yeah. yeah, but we can't say anything. But this is going down. This is happening, whatever. And we don't. And there's been, but I can tell you this, it's been way more times that I've said, hey, do you know anything about? Nope. I haven't heard a word. So it's like, this is, these guys are running a business and they're doing their thing. I mean, I've got a thousand different ways to look at this, but in the end, we're all just fans and we all want them to do what we want them to do. I'm going to clarify this and end this little rant before we go to Kyle with a very simple thing here, and that's this. I want them to be better. Do I want them to sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? Absolutely. Okay. Did I want them to trade for Paul Goldschmidt? I wasn't that keen on it a couple weeks ago. It's growing on me every day. I wouldn't bother me now. Did I want them to sign Josh Donaldson? Yeah, but probably more because I like him. I understand the risk with him. I do not like Moustakas. I'm not a big Michael Brantley fan because of some issues. I don't mind Michael Brantley, but he's not. I like Gene Segura. There are certain relievers I like, certain relievers I don't like. But let me make one thing perfectly clear. As long as they're better, and anybody that comes in here and puts on our uniform, I'm going to be happy about that as long as I think they're going to make us better. Now, I'm going to have an opinion, just like I had an opinion when we signed Mike Leake and I didn't like it, just like when I had an opinion when we signed Dexter Fowler and I didn't like it. Okay, I'm going to have an opinion. It doesn't mean I'm right. Just because I was right in both instances means nothing. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. So, anyway, you know, enough of my opinion. Let's hear an opinion from a guy that is never shy about sharing his opinion. Let's get Mr. Kyle Reese on the phone here. What's going on, Kyle?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, listen, I want to start our conversation off today by telling you to your face, through your ear, basically.
Oh, no.
That I basically just told a bunch of people you don't know jack shit. But I want to say what I said. And I think you may have saw it on Twitter, but somebody had said on Twitter, and this is where my whole thing came from today, because, hey, I think you know I love you to death. You know your shit. Let's be honest. You're passionate. You do as much research as anybody. You know what you're doing. But I thought this was funny. Somebody that I really like on Twitter today said, well, Kyle Reese said the Cardinals are not interested in Manny Machado, and I just simply said, what the fuck does Kyle Reese know?
No, that's for sure.
Okay.
People ask me on, you know, during Prospects After Dark, people say, you know, what do you think about Machado? And I say, well, I'm for it, but you never hear the Cardinals' name attached to it. And when the Cardinals have been asked, you know, you hear it on 1120 about Machado, and maybe it's just smokescreen, but they almost always never talk about, like, or allude to that need. And then, you know, you hear stuff from people all over the place, and I usually preface all that by saying, you know, you hear crazy stuff from people all the time that tell you things, and you blow it off, but, you know, for the most part, you just never hear them attached to Machado, and I put it out of my collective consciousness for that very reason.
Well, here was where I was going with it, was number one is this. You can say that they are not interested or not going to get a guy, and the chances are that you are 99% correct. Okay, because how many guys do you get, right? You're lucky to get a couple. And it's very, you know, and there's only one team going to get these guys, right? It really hasn't been our MO to go get those types of guys. So you can say they're not going to get them, and you're probably 99% correct, right? So you have that going for you. My point was, and this is where I was going, and I'm glad you said what you said. It isn't that Kyle Reese or Jim Cromer or Mo's Algorithm or Brendan Schaefer, it isn't that they don't know anything. It's this simple. And Derek Gould, Rick Hummel, they don't know shit either. They only know what the Cardinals tell them, and then like us, they get an opinion based off everything they know. We are not dumb. We see what the Cardinals' needs are, our perceived needs, right? We know who the free agents are. We hear rumors about who's available in trade, and then we start going into the whole, well, this is typically how the Cardinals do things, so this is how I see plan A, plan B, plan C. But I mentioned this earlier. When was the last time a Cardinal beat writer knew ahead of time, and you could tell by their articles what the Cardinals were going to do? You don't.
Yeah, you know, you never really hear much about it. They seem to kind of know, you know, when stuff like that happens and they start, like, reflecting on it, then they say, these are the signs. But it doesn't ever seem like they know exactly what's going on leading up to whatever the transaction ends up being.
You know, and again, certain organizations do it a certain way. There are other organizations that have zero issue putting out there what they want to do. And then they go and do it. Okay. This fan base would love His name just escaped me. The GM from
Bryce Harper.
No, the GM.
Oh, DePoto?
They would not like him. The guy that just won the World Series.
Dombrowski?
Yes. This fan base would love him because he is a gunslinger. He is all in. That's been his MO. I'm a show up.
Yeah, I think more importantly, this fan base would like an organization that spends $233 million and goes over the cap.
Well, okay.
I think any fan base likes that, but, you know, it's not practical.
Correct. So, well, and that's my point. So he's not going to go anywhere and be successful in an organization that isn't willing to give him money and give him free reign to deplete their farm system. He's just not.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Theo Epstein had some success doing what? Spending money. Okay? I mean, you can talk about the Red Sox and the Cubs all you want, but how did they do that? How did these teams do this?
Spending money and depleting their farm system.
Okay, so could John Mozeliak do that? He could. It's just not who he is, and it's not who his owners want him to be. So, again, you can say, but we can all do this. So that's where I went with that. I just thought it was funny, and I knew you'd get a kick out of it, so I wanted to tell you to your ear that I told somebody that you didn't know jack shit. And I prefaced that by saying, neither do I. What do I know? What does anybody know? It kills me sometimes the way we do this. So let's talk about that. And that's where I want to go with this, and I want to remind people of it. And it's this simple. People are freaking out about Josh Donaldson, and they're like, well, you know, there went our plan B. And I'm like, well, I mean, maybe he was plan C. Maybe he was plan D. Now, I know we had him as plan A and B. You know, I think we all wanted him, and we all felt like him and Harper. But when it comes down to a guy like Donaldson, you know, 1 year, even though it's a lot of money, if you can't stay healthy, you're done with it after a year. Did you waste the money? Sure, but let's be frank. They've got money. Okay, I think we've all, you know, the Atlanta Braves article, what was it, a week or two ago, with how much money they made, and they don't do near the business the St. Louis Cardinals do, tell you that the St. Louis Cardinals are making a fortune. Okay, so they got money.
That Fangraphs article, how unusual was that Fangraphs article where they talked about the Braves, you know, operating at a deficit for a couple of years, even though, you know, the valuation of the franchise was high. But, you know, it wasn't until the last year and a half, 2 years that they've actually operated by making money. That was a very just everyone took the headline from that the Braves made $100 million last year.
Right.
But that entire article was super interesting, and I know that's off topic, but I people need to check that out, because that's a really interesting article to read.
Yeah, absolutely. What I took away from the article was, I don't really care that much about the Atlanta Braves. The thing I took away from the article is, if you start comparing apples to apples, the St. Louis Cardinals are making a bunch of money. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the St. Louis Cardinals would probably like to sit Jim Cromer down and say, hey, let us tell you a little bit about how business works. And I would say, okay, well, I have a pretty good understanding how business works. You know, I worked for a giant that used to try to say, hey, we didn't make this and we didn't make that. But the reality of it is, I know how it works. Okay? So the bottom line is they're making a lot of money. I don't begrudge them to make a lot of money. They should make a lot of money. People that own things should make a lot of money because they have taken a major risk. Now, I will say this. The St. Louis Cardinals owners did not take a very big risk. They got the Cardinals at a bargain price. Everything has been roses for them since the day they bought the team. They basically sold the parking garages and got their money back. Okay, they've had a city that understands they need them and has been cooperative with them. I'm not feeling sorry for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I got to tell you, I am 100% tired of fans feeling sorry for them when it comes to spending money. I've never understood why a fan would give 10 shits about how much money a team pays. Now, I'm going to say that with the caveat of I understand that most fans would say, Jim, it isn't that I don't care if they spend money. I know how they operate, and I know that if they spend a bunch of money here, they're not going to spend. Well, I'm going to take you then full circle and say they should be $180 to $190 million payroll team. Sorry, but they should. They absolutely should. So they're not.
I said that 170 mark is like the bottom line for me. They're a team that should be no lower than 170, and I don't. You know how I feel. Like I don't. I don't think it's right to say 180, 190. And I know at this point we're just picking numbers kind of out of hat, but I would want them to have, in my mind, I would want them to have $30 million of flexibility where they wouldn't have to worry about the luxury cap threshold or anything like that without having to worry about paying double over what the number is. And that, like, that's where my mind works. $25, $30 million, like, I understand that, but they should definitely be in that 170 range on the low end.
Yeah, I agree. And that's that. You are, in my opinion, you're 100% correct in your assertion of how they should operate. Now, again, we're back to, we're telling other people how to spend their money and how to run their business. And they've been pretty successful at it. We don't feel they've been successful because on the field, they have not been successful. We are, whether people want to admit it or not, I don't know how, Kyle, I think you and I have talked about this before. How old are you?
I'm 32, sir.
Okay, so you don't really know much from when it comes to Cardinal baseball other than success, to be quite frank.
You keep in mind that I was born in 86, and I started going down to the stadium on a regular basis for 40 to 60 games a year when my dad was an usher, starting in 1996. So I don't know extreme failure, but I remember being down there. I remember being down there the year after the strike. I remember that very, very vividly. And I remember at first when they were really bad. I definitely have a memory of that, but it's definitely a distant memory because not only do I take constant blows to the head, but I am already stupid prior to all of that stuff. So just to your point, yes, that's I don't have like a strong understanding of what it's like to be bad year in and year out, but I definitely remember those years.
Yeah, so what you don't remember is some of the 70s. Which I don't necessarily remember those. That was when I was young and I was starting to go to baseball games. And I really didn't care that they weren't any good. I just was enjoying being at the baseball game. But as I got older and got more educated, I realized those were some lean years. And then I lived through the end of the 80s after all the success in the early to mid 80s. And then I lived through the early 90s. So, you know, for a franchise that basically since they've taken over has had a ton of success, we are now experiencing no success. So I don't know where the threshold for the St. Louis Cardinals is for when they say enough's enough, right? Like, I don't know what that is. For us as fans, it seemed like if you go back over the last however many, it's been 15, 18 years, whatever it is, it's been a couple seasons maximum, right, without playoffs. And then it always felt like, it's always felt like, okay, it's going to turn itself around. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. It's always felt that way, right? Well, it didn't. It doesn't feel that way right now without making some major changes just because this team's just not good enough. They're not even close to being good enough. There's been a change. They operated for a long time in that era where you had also Rams in your division, okay? The Cubs were a rivalry, but at times were comical. The Brewers definitely comical, right?
Absolutely.
We went through a phase of different teams that were better at different times, the Pirates at times, the Reds at times, but really we were the standard. We are no longer the standard. And I think that's what bothers us the most. For an organization that for a long time, the fan base now that's your age only knows us to be the standard. So I understand that that's the issue. Fast forward now to this offseason. Okay, it's 3 years in a row. Lots of chatter coming out of the front office, a lot of chatter, but not a lot of doing. I can see fans freaking out over this Donaldson thing. Did this surprise you that people are saying he kind of jumped the shark. I think it was a very smart move by him. It's not what we typically see, but again, just an opinion. I think in a perfect world, he didn't sign until after Machado or Harper signed, because I just believe in my heart that we're in on one of those two guys. Whether we get them or not, obviously, is going to be hard to do. There's a 99% chance we don't get either one of them. That being said, I really believe that they were in on these guys, and then Donaldson was a logical fallback for them to overspend on, because even overspending or overcommitting on him wasn't near as hard to swallow as the other two guys.
Yeah, this one's all about timing in my mind, Jim. And I think you're on. Of course, you know how I feel. I think the guy that they're on is Harper. That was the first part of this conversation. Harper makes more sense for them, even though for them, like them personally, for me, the roster, and Machado makes more sense. But I think ideally, just like you said, that market would have panned out and they would have adjusted to Donaldson at that point. Of course, the timing was all wrong, all off for the St. Louis Cardinals, and now Josh Donaldson goes to the Atlanta Braves on a pretty damn team-friendly contract. That is the exact same amount of money as it was in 2018. You know, sure, the injury risk is there, and I know you're concerned with the cap and all of that stuff, but it's not as much of a risk for me. And I have my own problems with the Cardinals' training staff and maybe some of the team doctors, but he still had to go through all of the physicals to sign. And so you just got to keep that in mind. Like, he still would have had to have passed physical after physical after physical in order to sign. So to me, it is a waste, a disappointment, a very, very large disappointment. I wasn't ready for it. All of a sudden, it was just on my Twitter timeline, and I was heartbroken by it. You know, for me, it's simple. Like, I'm not one of these people who views the last 3 years as a failure. I know that, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. I know that, obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't go any further than that. But they've had, especially last year, the way last year ended up going in August, you know, making the playoffs isn't always the benchmark. I just try to stay as realistic about it. You know, what, 8 teams make it to the playoffs after you get to the wild card. So you get to play more than just one game. And I always try to keep that in perspective. But now, to your point, if it keeps going on, then it's an issue. And it's going to keep going on if they keep missing out on these one-year deals for marquee talent. This is exactly what the Cardinals, Josh Donaldson's contract with the Atlanta Braves is exactly what the Cardinals have been trying to sell us as their move for as long as they've been out of the big name free agents, right? It's always been one year deal, short term for big money. And they passed up on it. They passed up on it in a big way. And to your point, if they end up not doing anything more than getting someone like Mike Moustakas, or, you know, it's a huge miss, in my opinion. And, you know, Paul Goldschmidt's a name. It seems like everyone, every journalist, every local or national media type is saying that the Cardinals are hot on Donaldson. And right now it just appears like he's their guy.
You mean Goldschmidt. Like, you know. You said Donaldson.
Oh, yeah,
you mean
Goldschmidt. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about Donaldson. About Goldschmidt, yeah. That we'll just have to wait and see what happens, but to me, Donaldson is just missing out on Donaldson. It's brutal. It's a brutal, brutal, brutal turn of events.
Let me ask you an honest question here. Did you like the St. Louis Cardinals better? Like, it's funny because I used to think the other way, but I'm not so sure now. I get maybe it's because there's nothing we can do about it now, but I always consider everything a two-player thing because certain players are affected by moves that you make. So I'm sitting here looking at this team, and I'm thinking, if I go into 2019, and I have said flat out they've got to make the playoffs this year, or they're in big trouble, in my opinion.
Yeah.
People think, oh, Jim, you're crazy. It's true. I'm telling you, and that's why I brought up the thing earlier. If you weren't around here, okay, they sold 3 million tickets in the 80s, folks, okay? And all of a sudden, they didn't, after being awful. Okay? I can tell you that they got to make the playoffs this year, in my opinion. So I look at this thing, and I'm going, okay, now wait a minute. I really like Josh Donaldson. I love Josh Donaldson. Okay? I love him. No doubt about it. But are they better? Are they better? In my opinion, are they better with Goldschmidt at first and Carpenter at third? Now, I'm not saying we don't know what will happen, but are you really that much higher on Donaldson at third and Carpenter at first than Carpenter at third and Goldschmidt at first? Because I can tell you this, of all the guys we're talking about, the one guy in all those guys' names mentioned that you can count on in 2019 is Paul Goldschmidt.
Ooh, do you think so?
Well, I listen, I'm looking at his stats. You've looked at them. If I was going to – listen, if they traded for Paul Goldschmidt and somebody said, hey, give me an over and under on what he's going to do, and I told you that the over and under was 297, 398, 532, 930 on those types of numbers – would you say you're crazy?
You know, honestly, without having the numbers in front of me, I wouldn't say you're crazy.
Those are his career. I'll just tell you. Those are his career starting batting average, OBP, slugging, OPS. 145 OPS plus average. Okay, so here's my thing. An offseason for him is better than most. So my point is, you know, here's a guy that as I look at his stats, starting in 2013, you know how you go to Baseball Reference and you look at this? I mean, he is in the MVP conversation every year. Now, he hasn't won one. He's finished twice. He's finished second twice, right? He's finished third once. I see all kinds of silver sluggers. I see gold gloves, which we know don't necessarily mean anything. But by all accounts, he's a pretty good fielder. I know this year, I guess, or whatever, he didn't have the best fielding year, according to numbers. But let me tell you something. Of all the guys that I – if I had to bet on one guy this year to be a good offensive player between those three guys, it's Paul Goldschmidt. Then the reason I can't pick Donaldson is because he's really risky.
Because of the injury.
Yes. So here's the thing. I know who we want, and I know sometimes who we don't want because of the – like with Goldschmidt, let's be honest, it's the age and free agency thing that's coming up, right? But could you really, really not be happy if this guy wasn't batting third for you in 2019? Could you really be unhappy?
Oh, I'd be pretty thrilled. I'd be pretty thrilled. But let me tell you where my perspective is on all this. My issue with the Goldschmidt move, it's not anyone else's. Like, I don't care if they only have him for 1 year. As a matter of fact, I'm one of these maniacs who kind of likes that. I kind of like that they don't have him locked in. A couple years back, you know, there was talk of the Cardinals trading for Lorenzo Cain. And the one, like, drawback that a lot of people brought up, he only has 1 year left. Well, I like that. Like, I like that. Let's get a guy for a year and see what it looks like and then adjust from there. And if he walks, get another guy for a year. You know, I understand financial security and all that, but it's whatever to me. Like, there are always free agents on the market that you can adjust to. There are always trade candidates that you can adjust to. It's almost be a relief to me to only have 1 year of Goldschmidt because at the beginning of the year last year, Goldschmidt was terrible. He was coming back from injury. It was a concern. And then he got his stuff back together. But, you know, having 1 year actually benefits to see what a full season looks like because you assume he's going to perform in a contract year. My concern is what it does to the defense. And I'm not even a defense guy. I would gladly fill out a fantasy baseball lineup every day. But my issue is I don't understand why first base defense it has become so highly thought of and how somehow third base defense has become diminished. And not just with the Carpenter, Goldschmidt, Donaldson thing. Just like in general, I don't fully understand it. And I think any capacity where you compromise your third base to make first base better, I think you're like really compromising yourself. And you think back to the beginning of last year, there were two things, and one will make me look stupid because of how I would handle this offseason, but the two things that really hurt the Cardinals this year, it was defense and it was bullpen. And then the year before, it was base running, defense, and bullpen. And the base running got better, but they still had their problems in 2018. The bullpen got better when they finally went to the internal candidate and stopped messing around with Cecil and Gregerson, Gregerson got hurt in Holland when they stopped, you know, going to the guys who they had paid Broxton the year before. But getting away from the bullpen for a second, going back to the topic, I don't understand why it becomes a viable option to move Matt Carpenter, who is a compromised third baseman, because of that shoulder and range issues, because he's not the rangiest first baseman, to think he's going to be a rangy third baseman with great reaction time who can rifle the ball from third to first. Like, you're taking a step back. And Goldschmidt is a superior first baseman to Carpenter, probably on an off year too. But what's more valuable, a good third base or good first base? And that's why, to me, if we're talking about which one of those three, first off, I would take Bryce Harper over Goldschmidt or Donaldson as a bank-on candidate. But based solely on what it does for the lineup, what it does for the defense, what it does for, I mean, just projected starting eight, you know, fielders, Donaldson always made more sense. And he fits that one-year cheap price that the Cardinals are always talking about. Again, Goldschmidt is cheaper for 1 year, except for whatever you're going to have to trade to get him, which ought to be a really interesting thing to find out. So that's where I stand on it. I just, man, there's nothing I hate more than when the left side of the defense in particular is compromised. And, boy, I mean, as capable as Matt Carpenter is of making, you know, your routine play, I don't know how much routine you can have on the left side and, you know, and expect to get, you know, make out. I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I'm a guy when it comes to Carpenter at third as I watch the throws. They hurt me to watch him throw them, but I really don't care what they look like as long as he makes them. I think people know where I sit on the numbers. Defensively, I have people that are really good at numbers tell me the defensive numbers aren't perfect. There's a lot that go into it. I will say that I've never thought he was that good of an infielder. I thought he was adequate. I thought he played well last year. The numbers say he played well over there last year. Now, he didn't play 162 games over there. I think he played 50 or 60 games over there or whatever it was. So it wasn't like it was 10 games, but he played a lot of games over there. And, you know, some people say, well, it was only 50, 60 games. And I'm like, okay, so in those 50 or 60 games, he didn't get any tough plays? Because I saw him make some really good plays at third last year. Did I see him make a couple bad plays? Sure, I did. I watched a lot of people make bad plays. I watched Josh Donaldson make bad plays. I guess my point is, I do find it odd how when the numbers say don't do this because people with their eyes see what they see. He's terrible. He's terrible. But then when the numbers say, well, I know what your eyes tell you, but the numbers say a little bit different. Oh, well, that's not. And I'm like, well, it's because of this or it's because of that. So I guess where I'm going with that is there's a part of me that believes that I think you have to, like, in a perfect world, well, sure, what you would go get is a healthy Josh Donaldson, and of course you'd be better, okay? But since you don't know, I'm going to take a look at what I know, what I feel really good about, okay? What do I feel really good about, okay? While I say this, and you know this, I love Josh Donaldson. I would love, listen, if they signed him and he got hurt in spring training and never played a game, I wouldn't badmouth him because I love him, and they tried.
Yeah.
Okay, other people would say, see, I told you so, and that's fine. That I don't begrudge anybody. It's personal for me because I love the guy. But the fact of the matter is, and you can say, you can listen, number one, anybody could get hurt in spring training and not play a game all season. But there's a chance it could happen to him, a much better chance. That's realistic. But what is the most realistic thing of all three guys, even including our own Matt Carpenter, is that Paul Goldschmidt is going to hit. And he's going to drive in runs, and he's going to get on base, and he's going to hit for power. And you know why? Because it's what he does every year.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not so off the wagon. I'm getting more and more on the Goldschmidt wagon. Now, if you really, really want to impress me, trade for Goldschmidt and sign Harper. Because here's why. Here's why I say you do that. And people are going to say, Jesus, Jim. And I'm going to say, well, listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay, if you don't trade for Goldschmidt and then re-sign him, you're going to have to re-sign Ozuna. I would rather re-sign Goldschmidt for 3 or 4 years or even 5 if that's what he needs than give a big contract to Ozuna when I can put Tyler O'Neill in left field the following year. Otherwise, you're going to have to sign Ozuna. So you're going to have to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying now?
Yeah. No, I get you. At that point, you come to a crossroads, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have the most faith right now that they would. I think it all comes down to price, right?
Well, it's a pipe dream, right?
What would happen?
I'm being crazy here. I know
compensation,
right?
Yeah, and they'd be happy as hell with that if they didn't have to pay too much for him. But no, I'll say this. I feel like I'm definitely bashing Goldie as compared to Donaldson. As I tell everyone, all that really matters to me is that they get better. And Goldschmidt makes them better. Donaldson would have made them better. Harper, like, those guys make them better. And I love what you're saying. I would love for them to trade for Goldie and get Harper, whether that's realistic. I think we all say no, but, I mean, if it hasn't happened yet, then, and neither, you know, both those guys are on the board, then it's still a possibility. In looking at it from, like, constructing a real roster, not a fantasy roster, trying to be responsible about it, that's why, for me, it would be Donaldson and Goldschmidt. And, again, just baseline, they need to get better. I think you're dead on with your appraisal. that this is a different year for them. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think it would do them pretty well to make a splash and to make it soon. Because if the Twitter reactions to the Cardinals' Twitter talking about holiday packs is any indication, it's not even a matter of getting to the playoffs next year. It's doing something good this offseason. Because it seems to me, just reading people's comments on Twitter, and, you know, we all say crazy stuff on Twitter, but people have already started to not spend their money on tickets. And that's an issue. It's a real issue. And granted, they're still going to make money. They could probably sell 2 million tickets or 1.5 million tickets and be fine. But they're definitely going to feel it. And they're definitely not winning in the court of public opinion. And for it to be going on as long as it's gone on in that direction, it definitely spells disaster. And I do think that they can mitigate some of the potential if they don't make the playoffs this coming season. By making a big splash. And the most important thing is that they don't try to view a big splash as Michael Brantley or Mike Moustakas or, you know, anything other than Goldschmidt, Donaldson is gone, Machado or Harper.
Before you go, I do want you to touch on a little – you're obviously not a Moustakas fan.
So here's the thing. The only reason anyone wants Mike Moustakas is because he hits left-handed. It's not even like –
Well, he's a 30 home run guy. He's a 30 home run guy. That's not awful.
Yeah. He's hit 30 home runs, but what does he average over 162 game season over his career? He averages 20, what is it? It's like 18 home runs and 23 doubles or something like that. So here's the thing. Mike Moustakas on a good year is what we all bitched about Marcelo Ozuna being last year.
Sure.
So, I mean, for real, that's what it was. Marcelo Ozuna had 16 doubles and 23 home runs, I think. Well, Moustakas, while he has recently hit 30 home runs and 20-something home runs, his career line is 250, 30-something, and the inverse of that, where it's like 23 doubles and we'll just say 20 home runs. And that wasn't good enough for the Cardinals lineup when they brought Marcelo Ozuna on in that capacity. So there's no way it's going to be good enough to bring Moustakas on. And I do get the left-handed thing, and, you know, his defense is up for debate. I think any of his biggest fans from his KC days would tell you that by the time he was done in KC and what they saw in Milwaukee, he had already taken a substantial step backwards. I don't know what the stats are. You'll have to look at the stats for that. But he just did not look the same, and his arm wasn't as strong. He was always a big-time prospect. You know, he was a top-5 draft pick, top-10 draft pick. I think he was fourth overall. I don't remember. Top-10 draft pick. He was highly thought of. And then his career, he was promoted advanced to the majors. And it took him a little while to get going, and he's had two good years. But even with the good years, even with those big power numbers, like go back to 2 years ago when Jed Jerko was a 30 home run guy, what exactly did it do for the Cardinals? Well, a home run's a beautiful thing, and hitting left-handed helps the lineup, I guess. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of teams in the Central with left-handed throwers.
Sure.
But I just don't get how that's a move that makes the Cardinals substantially better. If you get Moustakas and Harper, maybe that makes more sense. And then you're super left-handed.
Yeah, you're super left. Yeah, you go from being lightly left-handed to super left-handed.
Yeah. You know, to me, he's a complimentary piece. The Cardinals have done the complimentary thing. So unless they strengthen in another way, I don't believe that it would ever happen where they would trade Matt Carpenter. But, you know, you get – if you had Goldie and Moustakas, that's a nice tandem. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But with it just being Moustakas, sure, it might make them better, but how much better? To me, you sign someone like Mike Moustakas, and all you do is secure yourself 88 wins. Like, unless every team around you gets better, like, that's your way of saying we're not any better than an 88-win team, but we're trying our hardest to secure 88 wins.
You know what's funny is I saw somebody tweet this the other day. I'll leave you with this thought, and you can give me your thought on the way out the door. I saw somebody tweet this the other day and say they would be so upset if the Cardinals' big moves this offseason was Brantley and Moustakas. And when I read it, I thought, huh, you ain't kidding. And then the more I read it, the more I thought, huh. As much as I wouldn't like it, I think they'd be better with both those guys. Is good enough? I don't know. But if Michael Brantley was in right field as opposed to Dexter Fowler, and Mike Moustakas was at third base and Carpenter at first base, and we got some relievers, we'd be better because Michael Brantley would hit second for you, which we all talk about a number three hitter. We don't have a number two hitter either. And there's your number two hitter. You know, so if you did a lineup of, and I think what you would naturally do, just my opinion, I think what you would naturally do just because of the lineup, I think you'd go Carpenter, Brantley. You'd probably move Ozuna to three, bat Moustakas four, and then it'd be up for debate whether you wanted to bat like DeJong third or Yadi, or I mean fifth. DeJong, I know Yadi likes to hit fifth, Yadi fifth, DeJong fifth, whatever it is. I'm sorry, but you'd be better. You would. Even though you don't like that, I think you'd be better. I don't know, because I do not want Dexter Fowler playing for the St. Louis Cardinals next year. I just
how realistic do you think that is, that he will not be a Cardinal?
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, you make a great point. That doesn't even sound realistic because of the money. So, yeah, you make a great point. I just, you know, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is this. The money you would spend on those two guys isn't even remotely close to what you're talking about spending on other guys, right? So if you did that, would you then have the flexibility to make some moves and eat some money and get rid of Fowler? Well, sure, because you would say, well, what, you know, we spent our money to improve the team on the field and rid ourselves of a contract. You could always do that. And I got to tell you, while it wouldn't be flashy and while it wouldn't make me happy, like giddy happy, I think I'd have to look at that and go, you know what? We are better and that contract's gone. You know, you're probably not going to give Michael Brantley a very big contract because, I mean, even though he has shown himself to be healthier the last season and a half, as evidenced by his play, too, on the field, which is pretty good, you know, he's not going to command anything major. Neither is Moustakas, in my opinion. It's going to be okay, but it's not going to be anything remotely close to what we're talking about with other players. So I got to tell you, we'd be better. Whether you liked it or not, we would be better. Good enough? I don't know. That's an interesting thing because I will say this. If you got those two guys and got rid of Dexter Fowler and you went out and really strengthened your bullpen, I think you'd be pretty good actually. But it's not sexy. It's not flashy. But and I know people will knock holes in it, but you can't tell me that Moustakas at third and Brantley and Wright's not better than Jerko at third and Fowler and Wright. You can't tell me that on the two-man rule.
Now, let me ask you, if they can't manage to trade Fowler, like, say there's no market for him between the season-ending leg injury, it wasn't surgery, it was just an injury, put him in the boot, and the contract, no team wants him, they view him as a diminished asset, like, even the Cardinals can't give him away, do you still go after Brantley?
Well, well, Jim Cromer would.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Jim Cromer would. I don't know that St. Louis Cardinals will, you know, it's again, you can listen. I like to believe that things are changing because the fans, to some degree, whereas some people say the fans are allowing things not to change. I think that's wrong. I think people not showing up at the game, regardless of how many tickets they sell, is the first sign of we have a problem. Okay.
Yeah.
The best fans in baseball, which I can't stand that term, turning on their ownership group with tweets and things like you see. Now, you brought up the tweets. I kind of laugh at that because last I saw it was like 60, like 64 replies. You know, to the St. Louis Cardinals, 64 replies versus, again, we just said 3-point-something million tickets sold, whatever the reason being is. It's kind of like the loud minority, right? But you start adding all of it together, and I've said it 100 times, anybody worth their salt that runs a business knows that you don't let it get bad before you start worrying about it. You address it when you see it coming. Anybody worth their salt has to see this coming. I'm not Johnny Business Rocket Scientist here, okay? I see a problem. I see a problem when people tell me that when tons of people don't show up to baseball game, the Cardinals don't care because they sold tickets. Well, that tells me that the people don't realize that the majority of those tickets are sold at a very discounted rate.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, did they make some money off somebody that didn't show up? Absolutely. Take it from a guy that's ran a bunch of fundraisers for charities, okay? When somebody buys a table and doesn't show up, and the guy next to you looks at you and goes, well, we got their money, and I say, but we didn't get all their money.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, yeah, we got some money, but if 8 people show up to a table at a fundraiser and the table's $1,000, you got $1,000. But if the eight people show up, which you probably would have got, the numbers tell us, is you probably would have got at least double the 1,000. You'd have got 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So remember that when it comes to this. That people that say it's minuscule, the amount of money that they make off concessions or selling stuff in the store or people walking across the street when guys don't show up. Let me tell you something. This is how rich people get rich. Just because they make $100 million a year, the next year when they only make 98, they don't go, it's still 98. That's how rich people get rich and get richer. They want to know why. It's not that they didn't make 100. They want to know why they didn't make 102, folks. Not the fact that they made $98 million. Okay? And when concessions are down, when sales are down, they're building that behemoth across the street. They didn't build it to sit there and look pretty. They built it for people to go in there. And I don't know about you, but while I saw the stadium empty last year at times, I also noticed that Cardinal Nation place empty. Those seats up there. Okay?
Yeah, there was never anyone in those seats.
Right. So anybody worth their salt in business tries to correct the problem before it becomes a real problem. And we'll see. Listen, the whole premise of today's conversation is, what do we really know? I started it off by saying you didn't know jack shit. And you know more than all of us.
I would disagree heavily with that last part. The first part I'm definitely on board for. I take great pride in the little that I know.
Hey, listen, we're just a bunch of guys with opinions. I know the fans are loving yours on this show. Before you get out of here, and I know you're a busy man, tell them where they can find you.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at KYLER416. You can find me at Birds on the Black. We're doing our organizational countdown. I think today's the second baseman. Tomorrow's the shortstop. Friday will be the third baseman, ranking the top five. We've already done starting pitching, relief pitching, first base catcher. Check us out at Birds on the Black. It's a lot of fun, a lot of great times. I would also recommend that if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at KYLER416@yahoo.com. I've got a couple people reach out and say, I'd rather just email you than hit you up on Twitter, if that's okay. Feel free to do that. And we're doing Prospects After Dark via Periscope and Twitter on Sundays at 8 o'clock. It's been lately. So check us out. It's a lot of fun. We screw around.
In the world of politics, and I never bring politics up ever, okay, I am going to compare your victory in the bull ties and bullshit GM 24 hours a day. So I'm officially announcing you the winner.
Jackpot.
You won. Mo and I finished tied for second. Schaefer was in third. I have to say that you winning is like when somebody votes for one political party and out and votes the other out, but then votes for all the policy stuff from the other party. Which is, I think, what happened in Missouri this year, isn't it? Didn't they vote for all the... Isn't that what happened in Missouri this year? They voted in a Republican guy, but they voted down all the Republican stuff or voted in all the Democratic views or whatever. My point is, okay, you're a fan base screaming about the bullpen, voted your plan first, and you just want to go as is with the bullpen, basically. You just want to fill it from within.
You're hearing the loud minority. The loud minority is the one telling you about the bullpen. the rest of us, we know that Alex Reyes and Jordan Hicks got that thing.
Okay, I think it's great. And I'm going to remind people next year when, like, as Benji, you know, because here's the one guy on this show that's going to remind everybody how many games are lost in the bullpen is going to be Benji Molina. I'm going to remind everybody, okay, I'm going to remind everybody that you wanted Kyle's prediction and he wanted to go in-house, so I don't want to hear it. Congratulations.
That's right.
Adam Smokehouse, lunches on them, you, me, whoever. We're going to get together with the crew. We'll announce that. I think when we do this, we're going to have to do it around, like, your schedule. Maybe we'll invite some people down and have lunch with us. So let's get together, figure out a date
awesome.
On that. We'll announce it on the show, and then we'll invite people to come on down and have some lunch with us at Adam's Smokehouse.
Awesome. I can't wait. I would love that. I'd love for everyone to come down. You know, my little group of pad people are a pretty unique and fun and amazing group, so they'll come out.
Well, we're going to do that. We're going to invite them down and have some great barbecue and say hi to our friend Mike down there. But, hey, thanks for being you. I appreciate you, and I'll chat with you next week, my friend.
All right, Jim, take it easy.
All right, that is the one, the only Mo's Algorithm. I'm sorry, the one, the only Kyle Reese. Mo's is coming up next. Again, congratulations to him on his win. I find it odd. I think that was a popularity contest, which is fine. Don't tell me about bullpen if that's where the one you're going to go with. I'm just having fun with Kyle. Now, he has a great plan. I thought they were all pretty good. But good stuff by Kyle as always, and I love having him on the show. I know you guys do as well. Speaking of the show, don't forget to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Just want to remind you guys where we're at before we go to Mo's algorithm here. Subscribe to the show there. It's the number one thing you can do to your shopping on Amazon. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Big push on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. The posts come out pinned on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Pinned post by 5 o'clock with the show. We're going to ask you to like it. Going to ask you to comment on it, and more importantly, share it. You're eligible for some of the prizes we've been giving away throughout the offseason. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to have you guys find us there. You can also find us at lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform on your mobile device. Download it in the App Store on your mobile device today. It is free, sleek, easy to use. You guys will love it. Trust me on this one. Thank you to our partners. Adam Smokehouse, you just heard me mention on Watson Road, will be going there for our winner's dinner. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Don't forget they cater, especially this time of year if you're needing that. And, of course, they do deliver. Call them today and find out if you're in their delivery area, and then you can stay in from the cold and have it delivered to your house. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It's off season, folks. Guys are training. Guys are getting better. If that's what you want for your young player, check them out. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in Missouri. They used to be the Missouri Gators, but now they have the Illinois Gators as well, and it's all coming underneath that one umbrella of GatorsBaseballAcademy.com for the prep program. Their four-pillar system is second to none. Check them out. I know you'll really enjoy what you see. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To my friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com has been with us since for a while now. I just love the guy. He does what he says he's going to do, and that's important when it comes to business and you're spending that kind of money on projects. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's got you covered. Heating and cooling, electric, the plumbing team's up and running now, and, of course, the always reliable construction team. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. All right, time now to hit up my man and your favorite, Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo's?
How are you doing today, Jim?
Well, I want to take a look at a couple of the what we would believe would be fallback options. And I say this 100% saying that none of us know jack shit about what the Cardinals truly believe is plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. This is all of our speculation based off what we feel the Cardinals need. We all think they have an obvious need, needs. So we make speculation, and then we take the rumors, right, that we hear from what are supposed to be guys that are somewhat connected, and then we basically make educated guesses on what we think the Cardinals are thinking, right? So let's just say that if Josh Donaldson is gone, and I think most of us, us intelligent people, as we like to call ourselves, I think we all thought he was some sort of I know that in a perfect world, you and I and everybody thought he was part of plan A, sign Harper, sign Donaldson, and then you're really ready to compete for a World Series. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he was plan B, and plan B is now gone. So I believe, some way, shape, or form, that two players figure prominently into the St. Louis Cardinals' future plans, that being either Mike Moustakas or Paul Goldschmidt. Now, I want to talk to you about both, and you can give me a quick thing of why both are a good idea or a bad idea. I tend to look at this from a two-man rule, and the two-man rule for me is whenever you sign a player, it affects another player to some degree with the St. Louis Cardinals. That player typically is Matt Carpenter. So I think what you have to ask yourself is, in this instance, would you prefer Matt Carpenter at third and Paul Goldschmidt at first base, or Matt Carpenter at first base and Mike Moustakas at third? So I'll let you kind of give us your thoughts on where we're at here, what makes more sense for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Am I being forced to pick one?
Well, let's just say that these seem to be realistic options, so give us the why it's good or bad, I guess.
So I guess if I'm forced to pick one of those options, I would probably choose the Goldschmidt at first, Carpenter at third, even though I'm adamant about not wanting Carpenter at third base. I just don't think Mike Moustakas is much of an improvement over what they already have, right? So I think Jed Jerko is a 2-3 win player if he's playing a full season, and that's all Moustakas has ever really proven to be. You know, last year his F4 was 2.4, The year before that was 2.1. I mean, he's just a guy. He sure stands. He never walks. He doesn't strike out. He doesn't do a lot for me. And I think he's going to get, with no draft pick assigned, you know, tagged to him this year, I think he's going to get multiple years. And I just don't think he's going to age that well. You know, he just turned 30. He's just never really been a star player. He's just always been a guy. His defensive metrics, we've talked about ad nauseum, is how reliable those can be, but, you know, they don't look great. You know, and they haven't looked great for a few years now. So I'm not a big Mike Moustakas fan. Now, I will say this, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but if he is a complementary player to, say, a Bryce Harper signing, great. That's two more left-handed bats in the lineup to help balance it out. But if their goal is to sign Mike Moustakas and a left-handed reliever and say they're ready to compete for a Central Division championship, then I don't believe them. And I don't believe it would work. So that's why I would lean more on the Goldschmidt-Carpenter situation. But that situation in and of itself leads to other issues, like, you know, Goldschmidt and Ozuna both being free agents next winter. Do you really want to deal with that? Your three and four hitters both going into free agency in the exact same winter? That seems to be an issue as well. So I don't think either one of these options is the go-to. I think they may be complementary options, but I don't love either one of them.
Yeah, you know, as I look at the whole thing, I understand the peril of getting a soon to be free agent in Goldschmidt, the off the field issue. But when it comes to on the field, there's one thing this guy can do, and that's hit. I mean, he can hit. He's dangerous. And if you look at his career, and I'm talking about Goldschmidt now, his on-base percentage is tremendous. I like how somebody pointed out the other day that I believe one of his worst seasons of OPS are up there with where Carpenter's best seasons are, I believe, is kind of how they put it. You know, so even if there is some natural trending down of Paul Goldschmidt as he ages, as all players age, here's the thing I have to say about that, and I understand the not wanting to give long, big contracts to players that are 32 years old. I understand that. But let me ask you a question. Is there any reason to believe that a Yadier Molina can catch 100 and whatever, however many games a year, and can maintain, and if not in some instances, be better offensively than he ever was? Why in the world would Paul Goldschmidt not be able to hit into his 35 and 36 years of age? I mean, this guy is a hitter. This guy isn't a guy that this guy isn't a 260 hitter. This guy's not a 260 hitter that has a decent on-base percentage. This guy is a really, really good hitter.
I think with that, you know, line of thinking, you're talking about an extreme exception to the rule, right?
Sure.
Yadier Molina is not only an exception to the rule, he is off the charts outlier, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you want to talk about a hitter who's aged really well, sure. Could he be the next Nelson Cruz and he's 38 years old hitting 40 bombs? It's conceivable. It's possible. It's certainly an avenue I could see happening. My biggest issues are the trends that he's already showing at 31 years old. For the last four seasons, his walk percentage has fallen and his strikeout percentage has gone up. And when you see trends like that, and this isn't like a one or two, this is four complete full seasons of 155 games or more, where his walk percentage has went from 15.6 to 14.1 to 13. His strikeout percentage has gone from 21.7, 21.3, 22.1, 25.1. So there are some red flags popping up in terms of his plate discipline and his, you know, his other outlying abilities that would say, you know, is there decline here already? You know, you look at his defense, his defense has declined drastically over the last 4 years. He stopped one of the coolest things that Paul Goldschmidt was known for was his base stealing as a first baseman, right? He was known for stealing 18 to 20 bags. You know, 3 years ago, he stole 32 bases. You know, this year he stole 7. So he's gone from 32 to 18 to 7 in a matter of 3 years. What's that telling us? Is it a strategy difference with a different manager? There are red flags popping up about his abilities that say you're going to get his worst seasons if you extend him. It's just a matter of how bad are those seasons. You know, Chester Fowler was a productive player for many, many years until he wasn't. So, and I'm not saying Dexter Fowler has ever been the hitter that Paul Goldschmidt, you know, was, but you're saying that he's not a 260 hitter. Well, someday he's going to be if he plays long enough.
Well,
we just don't know when that's going to happen.
So my question is this, and I've wanted to ask you this anyway about multiple players. I think we've seen baseball. I know I have. I don't know about you, but baseball to me, especially by the eye, has really changed over the last few years. Strikeouts are up across the league. Aren't walks down across the league? Strikeouts up, all these other things. I mean, the way the pitching is approached, in my opinion, is what is causing this. I mean, everybody else wants to say it's launch angle. I disagree. I think it's the pitching that is causing the more strikeouts, less guys hitting 300. I mean, it's a philosophy thing, in my opinion, about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to baseball. Now, again, I don't know this for sure. I know what it looks like to me. I mean, we're seeing guys do something that for years was preached you can't do, and that's pitch up in the zone. Well, now they know with spin rate, because of analytics, you absolutely can pitch up in the zone if you have a high spin rate. And, in fact, you can pitch real effectively up in the zone with a high spin rate. So, you know, we're changing relievers like they're going out of style. Guys are no longer facing guys a third time through the order, which has been proven to be a plus for the hitter. I mean, how much of this is Paul Goldschmidt physically, and how much of this is the way the game is trending, and he's still outperforming other people? So you see where I'm going with this? I don't know the answer to it. I'm just asking.
And you know, that's a fair argument, Jim. I agree with you. And the biggest supporter, the best evidence you have to support what you're talking about, WAR, right? So over the last three seasons, he's a 5, a 5.2, and a 5.1 F4, which shows he's pretty consistent, despite the fact that his strikeout and walk percentages have fluctuated the way they have. So, you know, maybe there is, maybe you're onto something in terms of his, his percentages are adjusting with the league, and that's just the league now and not necessarily him. Because based on his WAR, you do have an argument that he hasn't really changed at all, production-wise. And a caveat to this argument is, I don't know what Paul Goldschmidt wants. You know, if his agent were to say they want an 8 to 10 year deal at 32 years old, that's where I go, no, I'm not interested. But if he's realistic and was willing to accept a high AAV for 3 or 4 more years, I would be open to that, because the Cardinals don't have a lot of options at first base or third base that he would be blocking, right? Because Matt Carpenter is coming down the wire on his contract. He's older than Paul Goldschmidt, so Matt Carpenter's only going to be able to, you know, be in the league so much longer as well. So a lot of this depends on what their expectations are in terms of that extension. You know, if the Cardinals' goal is to just trade for him for a year and then go into next winter and do it again, that's just not sustainable. You can't keep doing that to your farm system. They just did it last year with Ozuna. They'd be doing it again this year with Goldschmidt. And it's just not sustainable to keep doing that without some sort of extension. And we also don't know if Goldschmidt would be willing to discuss an extension before free agency. A lot of guys don't want to. So I think there's a lot of variables to my attractiveness to Paul Goldschmidt that are a lot of unknowns that we will never really have the answers to. But at face value, I am not a huge fan of it because of the issues I see with Goldschmidt, as well as compounding that with not putting Matt Carpenter at third base.
So I will say this too, and I'm curious because as I look at it, it always makes me wonder. So if a guy like Goldschmidt comes to your team, the one thing that I will say is this. I think there's risk with every player. I don't care if it's Josh Donaldson. I don't care if it's Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. I don't really care who it is. There's always risk. I mean, there's risk that you sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado to a 10-year deal and they never, ever come close to living up to it. And let's face it, the kind of money they're going to command, it's going to be really, really hard to live up to the money portion of the deal. But the one thing that it just seems like with Goldschmidt, if you get him, of all of them, I mean, it just seems like this guy's going to come in here and bat third, and he's going to hit, and we're not going to be talking about who the hell bats third. So I see that as now, and maybe it's a Band-Aid. Maybe it is a Band-Aid, but I don't know. But if you look at this, though, too, and to your point, you have to wonder. I guess the question is, and none of us really have any knowledge of this, but don't you have to believe that before you would trade for a guy with 1 year, you have to have some idea of what the other side is looking for? I mean, I know sometimes you hear, no, we're not going to allow anybody to talk to but man, don't you have to have some idea? I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe that's me overthinking it, but I just have a hard time believing guys get traded even without talking to the agents, and you don't have some clue as to how they view this thing. I could be wrong.
I guess I just don't know in terms of what the tampering rules are. You know, I don't know if GMs are allowed to talk to agents of players that are under contract with another team. You know, I don't know if Arizona would grant permission for that. I don't know all the details with that. But you'd think that conversation would come up with the front office that you're trying to make a deal with. Yes, I would agree with you there.
You know, he does scream, though, of a guy that's been one of the best hitters in baseball, you know, basically in his prime years and by baseball standards, has not gotten paid. Let's be honest. He's made, at the end of this deal, he's going to make 30, you know, he's going to make 30-something million dollars. He's made $31 million to this point, which is what some guys make in a season that don't hit as well as he does.
And that Josh Donaldson deal, that $23 million that Josh Donaldson just had for a year, I mean, that's not even the starting point for Goldschmidt now. Right, I mean, if you're wanting him to extend what he's got going on, $23 million isn't even the starting point now. 33-year-old Josh Donaldson can get that.
Yeah, I would think a 32-year-old free agent Goldschmidt, if he has a good season this year, you know, I think he's looking at a 4-year, $100 million, 3 years, $80-90 million. I mean, you know, somewhere in that range, give or take, unless he wants to push the envelope and say, no, I'm not. Now, here's the thing. I mean, I will say this, too, and again, I know your time is limited here. If you have to cut me off, go ahead. But if there's one thing we learned last year, that these guys can want a lot of things. And a natural, you know, we thought J.D. Martinez was going to ride his own ticket. And even J.D. Martinez didn't get what he wanted. He took, by his standards and by baseball standards, took a little bit less than I think we all thought he was going to get, both in the amount of term and money. So maybe baseball has somewhat corrected itself, especially with the older free agents, that maybe this isn't an issue for us with Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know. You got a quick thought on that before you go?
Yeah, and I mean, my best analogy here is like Matt Holliday, right? Matt Holliday was still very productive for the Cardinals through his age 35, 36 season. He hit a wall, you know, once they decided to, you know, his last season in St. Louis. You could tell he wasn't the same player anymore. But up until then, he was still a very productive player and a very underrated player for the Cardinals. So if that's what Paul Goldschmidt would provide with a 3 to 4 or 5 year extension, is Matt Holliday type production, fine, you know. You'd obviously have to do other things around him. But like you said, if they have their first baseman for the next 4 or 5 years, then I guess that stabilizes a lot with their team.
Well, as I said, I look at it and I wonder, could we do a lot? I mean, I guess this is where I'll end it with you. We could do a whole lot worse than getting Paul Goldschmidt. And, oh, I know what I was going to say, the last thing. Because of this reason, I know you mentioned the prospects. Don't you feel we have a logjam anyway on the 40-man roster with prospects? I mean, we've almost got too many guys of the same time frame. Doesn't it? I mean, don't we probably need to move a few and actually use them to improve the team rather than have them sit there and be like, how are we going to maneuver this and that? I mean, doesn't that make a little sense to you?
Yeah, I think they have way too many pitchers that are all either the same thing or have the same service time. Like, you're not going to fit that many guys in a rotation. And some of those guys are starters, and you don't need to jam them into your bullpen when you can turn them into something else and sign a reliever or trade for another reliever. That's an actual reliever and not just a starter you're jamming in your bullpen to find a spot for him, right?
Yeah, I
would definitely agree that they're I don't think the Cardinals have a lot of, like, superstar prospects. I think we know that. But I think they have a lot of good prospects, and I think they might have too many good prospects because they don't have enough room for all of them on the 25-man, and are you wasting assets by having them just continue to burn out in Memphis, you know? Because you have to think that those guys eventually start losing motivation when they're, you know, they feel that they're good enough, but yet the Major League club doesn't have room for them.
Well, again, I think, I think you're – you know, your stuff's always point on about the players and their productiveness and I guess compared to what you see versus what it really is. And it'll be an interesting thing. I think Goldschmidt's going to be an interesting player. I just, you know, he just screams hitter to me. But so did Albert Pujols, you know. And then,
And don't get me wrong, Paul Goldschmidt makes the Cardinals better. And he would make them better for probably 2, 3, maybe 4 more years. But I get leery of guys who are kind of that age, you know. Dexter Fowler has scared me. Albert Pujols has scared me in terms of, you know, Miguel Cabrera. Those guys have scared me in terms of how quickly they deteriorated from being great players. And I don't want to include Dexter Fowler with Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera. But I'm just saying, like, Fowler was signed to a 5-year deal and he declined rapidly. And those other guys were Hall of Famers and declined rapidly. So I guess we didn't really see it coming with them. So I get leery of Goldschmidt at 32 years old, what it might look like at 35 or 36.
Yeah, I think it's a risk, but I'm at the juncture now with this whole thing where it's time. The Cardinals are in a position I think they're going to have to start taking some risks. I don't know about you, but taking no risk and not making the playoffs doesn't work either. So, I mean, we're in a situation here where we got to do something. I don't know. I'm throwing my hands up kind of at it and saying, let's just do something. I know that's not pragmatic, but I don't know. I guess if they traded for Goldschmidt, I'd be happy. I hate to say, at first I was kind of like, but it's growing on me more and more every day.
And it is me too. And I think I would rather take a risk on an extremely proven first baseman than I would like 8 5-year on Dexter Fowler, who was not a good center fielder. And then they moved him out of position to right field when he should have been in left field. And he has foot injuries and back issues. And now you're going, well, is he even an outfielder anymore, right? That's the kind of risk that you're like, well, that's not a good idea. But taking a risk on a guy who's already a first baseman, and if he deteriorates a little bit, he's still going to be a first baseman, that seems to be less risk than signing an outfielder like Dexter Fowler, you know, to a long-term deal.
Yeah, and we're not talking about signing a guy that, 2 years in a row could barely find a job. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like he was majorly sought after. And then the Cardinals went ahead and gave him a 5-year deal.
Yeah. I will scratch my head till the end of time on that one.
Yeah, I said it then, and look, I jokingly say this all the time, I'm very rarely right. I was right about that. That was a desperate move by a desperate franchise.
Sure, and so was Mike Leake. And I worry that if they don't do something like Goldschmidt, Machado, or Harper, they're going to get a Michael Brantley or Mike Moustakas. And in a year, we'll be talking about the same mistake.
I think I've told this story before, but Michael Leake, one of the agents that works for Beverly Hills Sports Council, is a friend of mine and was in our office when Mike Leake signed with the Cardinals. And he got a text and he looked at me and said, "You guys just signed Mike Leake." And I went, "Really?" And he goes, and he just kind of looked at me and shook his head and said, "Yep." And I said, "Big deal?" He goes, "For him. Yeah, pretty good deal for him."
Yep,
and
it was.
And I said, "Okay." And, you know, and it was like, "Okay, interesting. All right." So it was kind of funny. But anyway, long story short, I'm at the juncture now where I'm like, hey, Paul Goldschmidt right now versus what we have looks a whole lot better, to be quite frank. Again, if it's Carpenter at third and Goldschmidt at first versus Jerko at third or Moustakas at third and Carpenter at first, I like any option that has Paul Goldschmidt in it. That's just how I am with it right now. So, all right, my friend.
And I would be over the moon if somehow they got Greinke in that deal. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, you know, the whole Greinke thing is interesting. I talked about it with Kyle earlier. You know, and again, I'm not 1,000% sure it was 2011. I'm almost sure that it had something to do with the Brewers families didn't like where the Cardinals had put them. And they were mouthing off, and some fans were rude to their families, and the players said it was unacceptable, and it was a bullshit move by the Cardinals to try to mess with them, and we were playing mind games, and I want to say Greinke was front and center with that, thinking that this is fucking bullshit. So, so I think that's when that whole thing went down, was in 2011. I remember it, and I think that's what happened. I don't have any proof of it because I didn't even look to find an article, but I almost remember that. So if anybody out there remembers that, send it in. Anyway, great stuff. Appreciate you. Tell our listeners where they can follow you.
On Facebook at MOZ Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_Algorithm.
All right, my friend. Sounds great. I will chat with you next week.
All right. See you later, Jim.
All right. That is Mo's Algorithm. Always enjoy my conversations with him. Again, he takes opinion sometimes and puts a little fact into it. I love it. But he's also a guy that truly says, he's also a guy that says, hey, listen, you know, I understand that numbers aren't the end all. So, you know, if there is something out there that can say, hey, I see what these numbers are saying, but this doesn't make the number doesn't add up here. He's going to take a look at it, and that's why I love Mo's Algorithm when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, great stuff as always from him. You know, and no Brendan Schaefer today. I think I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. If I didn't, I apologize. But he is working a real job today, so doesn't get to play with his friends. So, you know, reality is this, folks. Cardinals are mentioned in doing things. We don't know for sure what is their desire and wishes. If I was going to guess some things, like I said, I just think in a perfect world, Josh Donaldson would have waited until after the Big Two signed. And then the Cardinals could have had an opportunity to make what may have been a good or bad decision, to be quite frank, on Josh Donaldson based on that scenario. Now, that being said, now that's also going on the premise that we think they would be interested in either Machado or Harper, right? Again, we're back to this plan A, plan B, plan C, all constructed by people that really don't know. it's all what we think. So, and more importantly to us as people, it's what we want. You know, there's just as many people out there that wanted Josh Donaldson as want Mike Moustakas. So, you know, I consider myself to be no different than anybody else. I have players that I want. The difference is, there's a lot of people like this too, I will be happy as long as they're better. Like I said before, Paul Goldschmidt isn't, you know, I understand the problems with him, so he's not my number one target. That being said, if they traded for him 5 minutes from now, I would be really, really happy because I know they're better. I know that. I mean, they will be better. I know that Mike Schilt's job gets immensely easier when he gets to write Goldschmidt in the number three slot every game. I know that. Now, you got to have other issues, you know. I mean, you know, they're really going to need Matt Carpenter to work really hard and play the best third base that he can possibly play, which a lot of people think isn't very good. And I would say by the eye, it sure doesn't look good, but the numbers would tell you he did a fine job there last year. And I've said this to 100 people, I don't care what his throws look like as long as he throws people out. I don't care that it looks weird and painful. I don't. Who cares? You know? They got to get better. They got to get better. And we need some guys that have shown that they can flat out hit and drive in runs. And this guy can do that. It's going to be hard, hard, hard to argue them going out and getting a guy that has proven that he can do exactly what they need. So we'll see what happens. Again, it's up to them. and we will judge them accordingly, as they're getting judged already, and they haven't even done anything, and that's why they're getting judged, because they haven't done anything. As I said, and I'll finish with this, it's 100% okay not to sign Josh Donaldson, in my opinion, and this is coming from a guy that loves Josh Donaldson, would have loved to have a Donaldson. I don't, you know, I own a couple Cardinal jerseys right now, and they're autographed. I don't wear them. They're guys that, you know, have over the years meant something to me. And my kids, you know, Pujols, Yachty, David Fries, and then, of course, Stan Musial and some of the older guys. But when it comes to having a player's jersey that you would actually wear, that's not really my thing. But, man, a Donaldson. I just love Josh Donaldson. So I would have loved to have had him. But he kind of jumped the shark on us here and said it's a bold move. Typically, these guys – sit here and wait it out. Basically, I think what he got was a nice one-year offer for a lot of money in a place that he's really comfortable with and was happy to go. Listen, I don't believe for 1 minute the Cardinals didn't offer him $25 million and he said, no, I'm going to go to Atlanta. I think if the Cardinals would have offered him $25 million, he would have said, okay, I'll go to St. Louis. What a great place to play baseball for 1 year, make $25 million, and build myself back up. You know, Now, he cited all these other reasons why he went there. That's fine, but I guarantee you that was also where the most money was. Now, I'm happy for him, right? Does that mean that the Cardinals didn't offer him $20 million or $21 or $22 million and he didn't go back to the Braves and say, hey, listen, I know this staff here. This is where I'd really like to be here. Will you give me $23 million? And the Braves didn't say, yeah, we will. You know, we had offered you 22 or 20. The Cardinals offered you 20. Yeah, we'll give you 23. And maybe the Cardinals just said, look, we're not going to go back and forth here. I mean, this is $23 million or $22 million, whatever. And again, this is all guesswork, right? Yeah, we can do this because we have other things to do too. So I can't sit here and get in a bidding war over a 1 year contract for a third baseman that's played how many games the last 2 years, no matter how badly we may need to gamble on you being healthy. So, as I said before, it's okay that they didn't sign him, even though I love him, as long as they sign some guys that are better than him. And the potential of being good is one thing. I'm talking about they need some guys. Because, listen, if that guy's healthy, he's really, really good, and there's very few players that you can realistically get that are better than him, right? That's the big if he's healthy. Okay, so I understand not freaking out over him if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, because there's a huge risk there. Much bigger risk there than there are on other players. I get it. But again, we're talking about taking risk here, and something the Cardinals, you know, we say they don't do, but they do. Listen, giving Dexter Fowler 5 years is a huge risk. Signing Mike Leake was a huge risk. Neither one of those guys has ever been great, and they committed themselves and locked themselves into guys that had never been great. Good, not great. You're telling me that's not a risk? It's a risk. Why not take a risk on big-time talent? Now, I know big-time talent risk costs more than good talent risk, but it's a risk nonetheless, and you've got the money. See, I don't understand that. It just kills me. But that being said, we'll see what happens. I like to believe that this is the signal of this market heating up. You're seeing more rumors today, and the more that you and I'm talking about from outlets that, even though they're not always right, they are connected. So the more rumors you see, that means things are starting to heat up. Something will happen, even if it's not what they say, which it very rarely is. Again, you can throw out enough rumors, and eventually you're going to be right. So remember that. last year should tell us everything we need to know about all these supposed experts and their rumors. So. Want to thank everybody for joining us today on Bow Ties and Bullshit. Remember to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Do your shopping at Amazon this Christmas season and help us out. It would mean a lot to us. Subscribe to the show, which is free there as well. Don't forget to find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. You follow us, we're going to follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. Find us on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Invite them to be a part of our community as well. It would mean a lot to us. On our posts, they're up Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, typically by 5 o'clock. We're going to ask you to like that post, throw a quick comment on it, and share it, more importantly, to help us reach more Cardinal fans and get them involved in the conversations. You'll be eligible for some prizes that we've been giving away throughout the offseason. Don't forget Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Find us there. Also, as part of lineupmedia.fm, not only a podcast company anymore, home of the streaming platform Yo Radio, which you can download for free on your mobile device. The new version's out. It's sleek, it's handy, and it's ready to go. That's Yo Radio. Download it today. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. A shout-out, of course, to our partners that make the show go, as always, innovativecompanies.com. Don't forget my friend Randy Green and all four companies underneath one umbrella, construction, heating and cooling, electric, and, of course, the plumbing team. I've got, things that I always say about Randy and who he is as a person and his 35 years experience and what it means to him to be a second-generation craftsman. But, folks, I'm not kidding you. I meet people all the time that know Randy, and they're like, you know, the truest thing you ever say about the guy is, as a person, if he looks you in the eye and shakes your hand and tells you something, he's going to do it. And it's not just about work. So those are the type of people I'd want in my corner. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Special thanks to Gators Baseball Academy as the technical offseason is underway for all of our young aspiring baseball players out there from the young age to the older age, trying to fill their dream. It's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com for you. The Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators now as they venture over to the Illinois side. And, of course, the prep Gators Baseball Academy can all be explained to you by checking out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You're going to learn about their four-pillar system, as developing the person is as important to them as developing the athlete. And that starts with the people that they have involved in their business, and they take it very seriously. So that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Check them out. You will not be disappointed. As lunchtime is approaching here at Bow Ties and Bullshit, I can't help but think of my friends at Adam's Smokehouse. It's time for some barbecue, folks. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Don't forget they do deliver now. You can call and find out if you're in the correct area code. And, of course, holiday season underway. They are busy, busy, busy with catering. You better call in there and find out if they're available for your business. Folks, I'm telling you, if you show up for an event and there's barbecue there from Adam's Smokehouse, you're going to have some happy people. So make sure you check them out. Tell Mike we said hello. And, again, that's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road. I want to thank our Facebook partners that have always been with us and always have shared our stuff and have been a big part of our success and growth here at Two Birds on a Bat and Bow Ties and Bullshit. Nate McHenry, RallyScroll.com, 100,000 strong, one of the best Facebook pages out there. Of course, Mick Light with Art City Media and his 150,000 strong. But guys that are in this thing in the trenches just like we are that we really love and appreciate, don't forget Chris Lawless, Ron, Gino Crash, the whole gang. They've got stuff happening daily over at Cardinals 24/7, Team of Rivals podcast. You know, those guys are in it just like us, just like you, just strictly for the love and passion of St. Louis Cardinals baseball. They're awesome. Check them out. You will not be disappointed. That goes for my friend Cardinal Freak, who's always willing to share our stuff as well. Just purely passionate about Cardinal baseball. Two ladies that are second to none, Linda and Vicky, with fans of Yadier Molina. And, of course, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Two of my favorite groups. Those ladies are straight up in it for Cardinal baseball and nothing more. And they love their Cardinals and they love their players. They're a great example of how you should have fun with this thing and not take it so serious. St. Louis Cardinals crew is another one of my favorites. Anytime we do anything in their group, we get a lot of feedback. And that means a lot to us here. So thank you, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation. Just tons and tons and tons of great groups out there, folks. So check them out. Cardinals Country is another good one. But they're there if you want them. So no shortage there. To all the Cardinal fans out there who tune in each and every week, we want to thank you for your continued support. I leave you. Let's go Cards!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.